ॐ तत्सते श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् यस्माज्जातम् जगत्सर्वम् यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदन्धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः. We are seeing here this portion of Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary. When Shankara Bhagavatpada established karma, jnanam absolutely does not require karma at all. Jnanam itself is a means of attainment of moksha. Jnanam itself is moksha. He established this fact. Then, Purapakshi, based on what Shankara Bhagavatpada established, how he established that jnanam itself is the means of attainment of moksha. Karma is not required at all. Though karma serves as an indirect means of attainment of moksha, performance of karma, nitya naimittika karmas, contributes for accumulation of punyam, and as punyam earned in this life, janma, neutralizes the papam previously earned. Thereby, it removes the pratibandhas in attaining jnanam. So, karma serves an indirect means of attainment of moksha. Through the removal of pratibandhas in the attainment of jnanam. Therefore, jnanam does not require karma in attaining moksha. This fact was established. It is then Purapakshi comes with his own another view. If karma is involved as a means of indirect means of attainment of moksha through the removal of pratibandhas by neutralizing the papams earned in the previous janmas, that means one has to perform karma anyway. Karma does have a status of being in that means of attainment of moksha. Your karma has to be performed. If karma has been performed, grihastha ashrama is the only ashrama where one is eligible to perform karma. So one can become a grihastha ashrami, perform karma, accumulate punyam. Thereby one can remove the past, neutralize the past problems. Thereby one can remove the pratibandhas attaining jnanam. Which means other ashramas are not required. Brahmacharya ashrama is not required. Sannyasa ashrama is not at all required. Even there is no need for vanaprastha ashrama. Grihastha ashrama alone is enough. Therefore, Purapakshi's argument is, what is the need for having other ashrams, ashramas? So, grihastha ashrama itself is enough. That's what he says, Purapakshi says. We are going to see Shankara Bhagavatpada's answer today. I'm going to read the Purapakshi's view again. evam tarhi. But evam tarhi means what? If this is so, then definitely karma does have the status of being an indirect means of attainment of moksha through the removal of the pratibandhas by neutralizing the previous papam, previously accumulated papams. Then ashramantara anutpapattihi, there is ashramantara anupapattihi means this untenability of having other ashramas, means other ashramas are not required. Karma nimittatvat vidya utpattehe, for the rise of knowledge, pratibandhas, obstacles, obstructions have to be removed. For removal of the obstructions, the previously accumulated problems must be neutralized. For neutralizing the previous papams, one has to accumulate new punyam. For accumulating new punyam, one needs karma. For karma nimittatvat vidya utpattehe, for the rise of knowledge, there is requirement of karma. Garhasthyecha vihitani karmani iti aikashyamyameva. So garhasthyecha karmani vihitani. Only in grihastha ashrama, the karmas have been prescribed. All sorts of karmas, more karmas have been prescribed only in this grihastha ashrama. Therefore, aikashyamyameva means there is only an ashrama in terms of grihastha ashrama. Ataha cha yavajjivada shrutayaha anukulataraha. Therefore, he says, yavajjivada shrutayaha means statements of shruti such as one must perform ritual, especially agnihotram, karma, etc. until the last breath. Yavajjivada shrutayaha means what? The shrutis, the statements of Veda, such as yavat jivet, agnihotam juhyat, etc. Such statements are anukulataraha. Such statements are really more appropriate and more supportive. What does it mean? One must perform rituals such as agnihotram until the last breath means one must continue to be in grihastha ashrama forever. One does not need to take to other ashramas. There is no need for sannyasa ashrama. So this such statements of the Shruti also seem to be very relevant and supportive that grihastha ashrama is only ashrama which is required because one has to perform karma. This is the Purupakshi's argument which we saw yesterday itself. I simply read just to come back to this class today. And for this, Shankara Gurupada answered. The first answer he gave, what we saw. See, karmas are prescribed not only for grihastha ashrama. Of course, grihastha ashrama is the ashrama where one has more of obligatory duties, more of rituals. Grihastha is much more eligible to perform many, many rituals, no doubt. But still, every ashrama has its own respective duties, respective rituals. So, karma anekatvat na, he said, no, that's not correct. As there is plurality of karmas, agnihotradini evana karmani, only karmas prescribed for the grihastha alone are not karmas, such as agnihotram, etc. the performance of Agrihotram ritual, etc., are not the only rituals prescribed only for Grihasthashrami. Even living a life of a celibate, following the discipline of Brahmacharyam, celibacy, involves effort and will, therefore there is karma. Practicing any austerity implies the involves will, effort, therefore it's a tapas is also karma. And even following values such as truthfulness in speech, ahimsa, so following the values also involves effort and will. Therefore, this also, it also comes under the category of karma. Even following the disciplines such as shamaha, damaha, having mastery over mind and sense organs, etc., all of them come under the category of karma only. So, brahmacharyam, tapaha, satyavadanam, shamaha, damaha, ahimsa, iti eva madini api karmani. Itara ashrama prasiddhani, even all these disciplines relevant. In fact, the values, etc., must be followed by people of all ashramas. Itara ashrama prasiddhani. People of all ashramas must follow values. People of all ashramas must be disciplined people. So, they are very well known in all the ashramas. Such, also, such values, disciplines, etc., also come under the category of the karma. Therefore, vidya utpattav sadhaka tamani. They are vidya utpattav sadhaka tamani. The most appropriate means in the rise of knowledge. Asankenatvat dhyana dharanadi lakshananicha vidyante. Even for a sannyasi, even sannyasa ashrama, whatever disciplines are prescribed for sannyasi, such as practice of meditation, withdrawing the attention, place attention on given object of meditation, or place attention in inquiry into nature of the self, etc., all those also are karmas. All of them are much more relevant, more appropriate. Karmani. Even those karmas also can contribute for neutralizing, contribute for accumulating punyam and neutralizing the previously earned papams. But they also can remove the patibandhas. Not only the karmani prescribed for the grihasthashrami. So all this we saw yesterday itself. Coming to a new class. In today's class. And Shakra Bhagavatpada states, Taittiriya Upanishad itself, the following, the last section, we are going to say, we are going to see that even the teacher is going to tell the student that may you have the desire to know Brahman by practicing tapas. Which means the practice of tapas is emphasized, your importance by the teacher means even there, even tapas also is there as a karma. Even practicing tapas seriously can contribute for accumulating punyam. It can neutralize the previously earned papams so that apratibandhas in the rise of jnanam can be removed. So, it is not that only grihasthashrama karmas can utilize the previously earned papams. That's not true. So, he explained this. Shankara Bhagavatpada continues his explanation. Let us see here. Sannyasa ashrama is not the only ashrama where one can perform certain rituals or karma. that one can accumulate punyam to neutralize the previously earned pabams. That's not true. Any karma, there are so many types of karma, so many karmas of different ashramas, especially for the following the values, disciplines, etc. also, can contribute for accumulation of punyam. Thereby, they also can utilize the previously earned papams. Patibandhas can be removed. So, all the ashramas have their own importance and relevance. So, having said that, Shankara Bhagavatpada continues. So, this new class now. Are you all there? Okay. Janmantarakrita karma bhyascha. Janmantarakrita karma bhyascha. Pragapi garhasthyat vidya utpatti sambhavat. He gives reason number one. When the reason is given, the fifth case will be used. He says, vidya utpatti sambhavat. Vidya utpatti sambhavaha. Vidya, in the sambhavaha here implies again the possibility. Sambhavaha means possibility. Vidyotpatti sambhavaha. Means there is possibility. Possibility of the attainment of jnanam. The positive rise of knowledge. How? Garhasthyat karmabhyaha cha pragapi janmantarakrita karmabhyascha pragapi garhasthyat vidya utpatti sambhavat. See, one has to accumulate punyam in the grihastha ashrama by performing various rituals, various karmas to neutralize the previously earned papams and which are now there as the obstacles, patibandhas. Shankara Bhagavatpada says, even if a person is not in grihastha ashrama now, even in previous lives, in the grihastha ashrama, a person has performed appropriate rituals. The person as a grihastha ashrami, a person has accumulated punyam in his previous life, in the previous grihastha ashrama life also. Still, that punyam, the punyam earned in the grihastha ashrama or the previous life also, can still fructify in this janma. Still can utilize the previously earned papams in this life. So that obstacles, the pratibandhas can be removed. By what? Not by the punyam earned in this, punyam earned, performing rituals in this life, in the grihastha ashrama, but even in the previous lives, in as a grihastha ashrami, if a person has performed rituals, accumulated punyam, that punyam earned in the grihastha ashrama, the previous life also, can neutralize the papams of the past life, previous lives. Thereby, it can remove the patibandha now in this janma. This is reason number one. One does not need to be a grihastha, accumulate punyam only in this janma, in a grihastha ashrama. In this janma, or the previous janmas, or even any other previous janmas also, when a person was a grihastha ashrami, if he had earned punyam by his rituals and karmas, that punyam also can be the remover of pratibandhas, neutralize can utilize the previously earned papas in this Janma. There's a possibility. That is reason number one. Then, karmarthatvatcha garhasthya pratipattehe. Karma sadhyayam cha vidyayam satyam garhasthya pratipattihi anarthika eva. Again he says, karmarthatvat garhasthya pratipattehe. Karma sadhyayam cha vidyayam satyam garhasthya pratipatti anarthika eva. See, grihasthashrama karmas. Grihasthashrama karmas are meant for neutralizing the previously earned accumulated papams. Therefore, they can definitely remove the this pratibandhas. No doubt. Which means mostly the karmas of grihasthashrama had to be performed specifically for antakarna shuddhihi and antakarna naishchalyam. The grihasthashrama karmas are always recommended or performed specifically for the antakarna shuddhihi, mental purification, mental steadiness. For karmarthatvatcha garhasthya pratipattehe. Suppose if a person, let me explain this to you, if a person in his previous janma, when he was in grihasthashrama, a person performed rituals, performed other karmas, and if a person earned punyam, as a result of that punyam, the person may be adequately mentally pure and steady in this janma. If he is already mentally pure and steady, adequately pure and steady, then there is no need for him again to enter into grihasthashrama. So Shankara Bhagavad Pada talks about the samskara, janmantara samskara. It's not explicitly said, but definitely I have to explain this here. Janmantara samskaraha means what? The mental refinement a person has as a result of the lifestyle a person had in one's previous lives. How refined a person is in this janma. This mental refinement, no, one does not have overnight, one cannot become highly refined, a person of refined personality. The personality refinement is because of the punyam one has earned, the style, lifestyle a person has followed in his previous janmas. If a person in his previous janmas lived a clean life of dharma and lived his, performed all his duties as a grihasthashrami, as a result of which he would have already attained what antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naishchalyam. Even before being born in this life, he is already a highly refined person, refined minded. The mental refinement a person already has because of his punyam he has earned in his previous janmas as a grihasthashrami. Which means the grihasthashrama has served its purpose for him. The grihasthashrama has served its purpose means what? That he has become adequately pure and steady. How is it possible without entering into the grihasthashrama, without having performed any rituals or karmas pertaining to grihasthashrama in this janma, even as a young person, even before becoming grihasthashrami, the person is already adequately pure and steady. is already refined person or refined personality. How is it possible? We see the difference in mental refinement. That is because this person who is very refined at a very young age seems to be very mature at a young age. Even before even entering into the Grihastashrama, without even performing any Grihastashrama, following the Grihastashrama dharmas in this Janma, he is already adequately mentally pure and steady. He is already refined means we do not see him performing any ritual now. We do not see him doing any karma now. We can't say without performing any ritual, without performing any, practicing any Grihastashrama dharmas, this person has become prepared. You can't say that. He must have accumulated, he must have earned that mental condition, that mental refinement. As a result of the punyam he has earned by performing relevant rituals, karmas, following dharmas in his previous lives. The person has already come with the already earned punyam. If he is born in this Janma, is already adequately refined minded, then there is no need for him to enter into Grihastashrama at all in this Janma. He can skip the ashramas. From Brahmacharya ashrama, he can directly take to the life of sannyasa. Because the Grihastashrama dharma has already served its purpose for him. So skipping the ashramas in between, directly taking to the life of sannyasa, is said to be Naishtika Brahmacharyam. Naishtika Brahmacharyam means from Brahmacharya ashrama, skipping the Grihastha ashrama and Vanaprastha ashrama, the person takes to a life of sannyasa. He is said to be a Naishtika Brahmachari, a sannyasi who has become a sannyasi without entering into the Grihastha ashrama and Vanaprastha ashrama. He is said to be Naishtika Brahmachari. How is it possible for him to skip the ashramas? Why should he skip? Is he qualified to become a sannyasi? It's not simply wearing his saffron robes. He is mentally prepared. He is mentally prepared for living a life of sannyasa, which means he is mentally prepared for living a contemplative life. Being a sannyasi means being able to be contemplative, having contemplative mental disposition. So being endowed with the contemplative mental disposition is what being a sannyasi. Which means one must have viveka vairagyam. If a person is not adequately dispassionate, it is not possible at all for a person to be contemplative. See, being contemplative means constantly being able to withdraw his attention from everywhere else and being able to place attention on his mind, the Swarupma of one's own self, unfolded by the Shastra. And such contemplative mental disposition is possible only if a person is already a person of dispassion. Vairagyam he must have. And to have vairagyam, to have the distraction-free attention, he must have vivekaha also. The viveka vairagyam, one cannot have overnight. Even to have vivekaha, to have the discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent, thereby to have dispassion towards all the time-bound things, and to have passion for jnanam, one must have earned punyam. The person has already earned that punyam. It is possible for one to be born as already a person of refined mind. such a person, that there's no need for him to again go through Grihastashrama to perform rituals, to do the Grihastashrama duties, to earn punyam, to neutralize the previously earned papams, maybe to get rid of the obstructions in attaining jnana. There's no need. Therefore, it is not that everyone must definitely, compulsorily should go through the Grihastashrama. Even though most of the people, 99% of the people, society, definitely have to go through the Grihastashrama for two reasons. For contributing for the perpetuation of dharma, for having progeny, one must enter into Grihastashrama. And for one's own mental refinement in terms of antakkarana shuddhi, antakkarana naishchalyam, to become eligible for the attainment of jnanam, to have contemplative mental disposition also, one must go through the Grihastashrama. So one must perform the duties pertaining to Grihastashrama. But here Shankaracharya says, karmarthatvata cha garhasthya pratipattehe. What is the purpose of taking to life of a grihastha? Specific, the purpose of being a grihastha is to perform the duties pertaining to grihasthashrama, specifically for the attainment of antakkarana shuddhi, antakkarana naishchalyam. So karmarthatvat means what? That implies having mental, adequate mental preparation required for the attainment of jnanam. There's need for a person to enter into Grihastashrama. Karma sadhyayam cha vidyayam satyam garhasthya pratipattihi anarthika eva. If a person is adequately refined, is already adequately pure and steady, if he is qualified for the attainment of jnanam, if he has the meditative mental disposition, then again taking to life of a grihastha is purposeless, meaningless. Garhasthya pratipattihi anarthika. Garhasthya pratipattihi anarthika. Garhasthya pratipattihi means attainment of the position of a grihastha, taking the life of grihastha, is anarthika, means does not serve any purpose. It means does not serve any purpose. Anarthika. It's a purposeless. Why? Already it has served its purpose. Already means what? The person has already become mentally prepared, means there's no need for him to again enter into the Grihastashrama. Again entering into the Grihastashrama is actually redundant, is useless for him. Therefore, what? Grihastashrama, there's no need for one to enter into Grihastashrama if a person is adequately pure and steady. Therefore, garhasthya pratipatti anarthika eva. So he says, Purupakshi says, only Grihastashrama is enough. Other ashramas are not at all required. So one has to become Grihastashrami and perform all the duties and rituals pertaining to Grihastashrama. And one has to become what? One has to earn punyam. One has to utilize the old papams. One has to remove the pratibandhas in the attainment of jnanam. One has to attain jnanam. So other ashramas are not required, for which Shankara Bhagavatpada says, one need not earn the punyam as a grihastha only in this janma. The person might have lived a life of a grihastha and lived his life properly as a grihastha. He might have performed all his rituals, all his duties properly. He might have earned the punyam. Then he might have, with mental preparedness, the person might have died. So where he left the thread has to pick up from there. So when he is born again, still being an ajnani, the person has died. The person died before as a mentally prepared minded, as a mentally prepared person. As a prepared mind, a person died means there's no need for him again to work for mental refinement. He can pick up the thread where he left. So naturally, in this janma, the mental refinement of the person is such that naturally he becomes disinterested in things because of immaturity. So he can take to the life of sannyasa, skipping the ashramas. Okay. Now he explains further. Lokarthatvatcha putradinam. In fact, if a person, so in the following sentences, Shankara Bhagavatpada explains there are benefits in being a grihastha. What are those benefits he is going to mention here? If a person becomes a grihastha, and if he performs his duties properly, duties pertaining to grihasthashrama, as a result of which a person can have some benefits. First of all, as a grihasthashrami, if he performed rituals, he satisfied the ancestors by his Pitru Karma. So having the blessings of Pitrus, the person will have progeny. If he has the progeny, and that this person will be able to be born again in this Manushya Loka. To be born in this world as a human being again, in order not to be born as, not to be assuming any other inferior bodies, to assume a human body, to be born in this world as a human being, one needs punyam. And to earn that much punyam, one must have progeny. And to have progeny, one must have the blessings of ancestors, for which one must have performed pitru, one must have satisfied pitrus. And one can satisfy pitrus by performing certain specific rituals only as a grihastha. This is benefit number one. Otherwise, if a person has to perform specific rituals to earn adequate punyam, to travel through a specific path and to go to Swargaloka, to enjoy the heavenly pleasures also, one must be a grihastha. Only as a grihastha, grihastha alone can perform certain specific rituals. Grihastha alone is eligible to earn some punyam, specific punyam, in order to be eligible to travel through a specific path and to go to Swargaloka, heaven, to enjoy heavenly pleasures. Even though it is time bound, still, even to enjoy the time bound heavenly pleasures in heaven, and to be able to travel through specific path, whatever punyam one has to earn, that punyam can be earned only by performing rituals as a grihastha. This is benefit number two. And what benefit number three? Being a grihastha, a person performs rituals, also practices specific upasanams, He combines his performance of rituals with the specific upasanas. This grihastha can earn very special punyam that he will be eligible to travel through Shukla Gatihi and he can reach Brahmaloka. So Brahmaloka Praptihi. Even though it is possible that Brahmaloka Praptihi, thereby there's a possibility of attaining Karma Muktihi, or he can, if he practices upasana as Nishkama Upasana, Sakama Upasana, and even enjoying the pleasures in Brahmaloka, he may have to be born again. This is the third benefit. And if a person, the fourth benefit is what? If a person lives his life as a grihastha ashrami and performs all his duties pertinent to grihastha ashrama, then he can earn punyam. And if he performs all his karmas, upasams, as a nishkama karma, as a person of nishkama karma, as a person of nishkama upasam, if he performs his grihasthashrama duties, fulfills his grihasthashrama duties, then he can earn antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naischaryam. Mostly, the grihasthashrama dharmas are for specifically antakarna shuddhi and antakarna naischaryam, mental purification, mental steadiness, the qualification required for the attainment of jnanam. The fourth benefit. Like this, these are the possible benefits. Therefore, if a person has attained a qualification already, there is no need for him to again enter into the grihastha ashrama. So he continues now saying, lokarthatvat cha putradinam. Lokarthatvat cha putradinam. Putradisadhyebhyah cha ayam lokah. He says, one has to be grihastha to earn such a specific punyam for the purpose of attaining various lokas. So he says, putrari sadhyebhyah cha ayam lokah. So ayam lokah, this world of human beings one can attain, which means one can be born again in this world as a human being by having progeny. And to have progeny, one must be a grihastha. And again, pitrulokaha, devalokaha iti etebhyaha, vyavritta kamasya, nitya siddha atmaloka darshinaha, karmani prayojanam apashyataha, katam pavruttihi upapadyate. So Shankara Bhagavad Pada, you know, as an advocate of sannyasa ashrama, and he makes it very clear. Look at this. See, putrari sadhyebhyah ayam lokaha, pitrulokaha, devalokaha, iti etebhyah vyavritta kamasya. Yes, she is talking about a vyavritta kamaha. Vyavrittaha kamaha yasya. So vyavritta kamaha. The person from whom all the desires have gone. The person who is free from the hold of desires. Who is not at all interested in any loka. He is not interested in putra. In this world of human beings, he is not interested in this world of human beings. If a person is not interested in being born as a human being again in this world, then he does not need to have any progeny. He does not need to have any progeny. If he is not interested in having progeny, there is no need for him to enter into the grihastha ashrama. Why should he enter into grihastashrama? That's why this class must be only for older people. Understand? Understand why these classes are not recommended for young people. For mature people, these classes are very reluctant. That now I understand why. You know, that is why Shankar Mattams are not open for everybody to go, anybody to go and study Vedanta. Even though Vedanta is such a wonderful treasures of wisdom, still. Anyway. So, who is eligible? Who should enter into grihastashrama? Who must be performing the duties, karmas pertaining to grihastashrama? Who? Only a person who has interest, who is aspiring for being born in this world as a human being, who is aspiring for having progeny, such a person must enter into grihastashrama. Otherwise, there's no need. Otherwise, if a person is interested in going to heaven and he wants to enjoy heavenly pleasures, then also he must perform certain specific rituals. And to perform specific rituals to earn adequate punyam to go to Swargaloka to enjoy the heavenly pleasures, he must be qualified as a grihastha. Then he must enter into grihastashrama. If a person's interest in going to Brahmaloka, his interest in attaining Krama Mukti, or even if he's not interested in Krama Mukti at all, he simply his interest in going to the highest of the lokas called Brahmalokas to have the specific pleasures of the Brahmaloka, then he has to perform rituals and combine the performance of rituals, the practice of Saguna Upasana, Saguna Brahma Upasana. So, by combining performance of rituals, Saguna Brahma Upasana, as a person of Upasana Karma Samuchyaha, he must to earn punyam to be eligible to go to the Brahmaloka, one must be a grihastha. Then he must enter into grihastashrami. He must be a grihastashrami. Enter into grihastashrama. If the person has no interest at all, what is their putra? Okay, I don't want putra. I don't want any Swargaloka. I don't want to be born in this world. I'm not at all interested in heaven, because heaven also is what? Enjoyment of heavenly pleasures also is time bound. I'm not interested in heaven. I'm not even interested in Brahmaloka. Okay, so he is a person who is free from what? Putraishana, Vittaishana, Lokeshana. The person is highly dispassionate towards all forms of pleasures, all forms of worlds. All these worlds means, acha person, etebhyah vyavritta kamasya, the person who is free from the hold of desires for all these worlds, nitya siddha atmaloka darshinaha, the person who has the vision of the Atma. Atmaloka means Atma. The person who has the vision of the Atma, which is everlasting. Nitya Siddha Atmaloka Darshi. The person who is interested only having the vision of the Atma. Ever obtaining Nitya Siddha Atmaloka Darshi, such a person, Karmani Prayojanam Apashyataha. The person who is aspiring for the Atmaloka, aspiring for the vision of the Atma. Which alone is capable of blessing, capable of giving everlasting happiness. Such a person who does not see any benefit of karma, who is not interested in any benefit of karma. Karmani prayojanam apashyataha. One who does not see the actual benefit he is aspiring for in karma. what I want is moksha, and that moksha is only in jnanam. That moksha is not there as a result of any karma. So here, the person who does not see such benefit, such everlasting moksha as a benefit of the karma. Karmani prayojanam apashyataha. One who does not see the benefit in karma. For such a person, katam pravruttihi upapadyate. Pravruttihi means what? How is it possible for him to be involved in? How is it possible for such a person to be involved in the duties and rituals pertaining to grihasthashrama? Is it possible? It is not at all possible. So who can be involved in the pursuit of grihasthashrama? Who can be interested, involved in performing the rituals pertaining to grihasthashrama? Only a person who is interested in, who has loka icha, brahma loka icha, desire for brahma loka or swarga loka or this loka, or who is interested in progeny, only for him the grihasthashrama is, isn't it, meaningful. Therefore, there are people sometimes who are already, when they are born in this world, they are already mature people. Adequately mature. See, this person who is mature in this janma might not have been adequately mature in the previous janma. As an immature person, one must have gone through the ashramas properly. One must have become mature, and as an ajnani, he must have died. So when he picks up the thread where he left, now as a mature individual, there is no need for him to again enter into grihasthashrama. See, this other people of other cultures cannot understand. That's why Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate, says Bhagavan. So the mental, the person in every janma, when a person is born, they say no life is a life waste. Understand? Every time you are born in the world, in this world, definitely you, by performing karma, by living a life of dharma, every time, in every janma, certain degree of refinement a person has. Gradually becoming more and more and more refined, and at last he becomes eligible for the attainment of jnanam. The mature, how mature a person is, how can I say? The person is naturally, effortlessly dispassionate towards all the time-bound material ends. If he is not interested in manushya loka, not interested in having progeny, not interested in having swargal loka, not interested in having, going to Brahma loka, not interested in any lokas. I tell you, here Bhagavan is not, Shankarabhutpada is not talking about lazy people, okay? Some people are very, very lazy. Okay, full of tamas. I don't want the any loka. I want to only sit and eat and enjoy, wander around. No. He is not talking about the people of tamas. Understand? They are not qualified to do anything. Yeah. Sometimes, oh, people, he no interest in anything, you know. Because dullness, there is tamas. He is not talking about the people of tamas, okay? He is talking about people of sattvic, okay? People who are predominantly sattvic-minded. People who are predominantly sattvic-minded are the people who must have been previously rajasic, highly rajasic. Only highly rajasic people can be involved in the activities. And even the highly rajasic, if their activities were governed by dharma, if they perform their duties properly, performing one's own duties properly, the relevant duties also, they would have earned punyam. So accumulation of punyam implies what? Doing one's duties in conformity with dharma. that must have contributed for the adequate mental refinement. So such people of people who are predominantly rajasic in nature, who would have been involved in activities in the previous jatmas, but whose activities would have been governed by dharma, thereby they would have earned punyam. So because of their clean life, Puja Swami's language, clean life, they would have been doing all sorts of activities, but governed by dharma. As people of clean life, people of dharma, they would become what? Predominantly sattvic minded. When a person is born again as a person of sattvic, sattvic mind, then naturally he is a mature person. He already sees the limitations of everything. He is no more interested in any time-bound results, material ends. Therefore, there's no need for him to enter into grihastashrama again. He can skip. Understand? That's what he means here. Such a person, it is not at all possible to involve himself in activities, okay, or rituals, or duties pertaining to grihastashrama. Katham pravrittihi upapadyate. How is it possible for him to have involvement in the duties pertaining to grihastashrama? If a person is already a refined minded, he is already dispassionate minded. That possible. Why? Nitya Siddha Atmaloka Darshi. Nitya Siddha Atmaloka Darshina Karmani Prayojanam Apashyataha. He does not see the benefit in karma. He is not interested in the benefits attainable as a result of karma. Not interested. Karmani Prayojanam Apashyataha Nitya Siddha Atmaloka Darshinaha Grihastashrama Karmasu Pravruttihi Na Upapadyate. It's not possible for him to involve himself in grihastashrama duties. Therefore, there is no necessity for him to become a grihastha again. Only such people skip right from Brahmacharya Ashrama straight away, they enter into sannyasa ashrama. They become Naitika Brahmacharis. Don't forget why Shankara Bhagavatapala is explaining all this. Okay? Because Puri Paksha, what did he say? There's no necessity at all for any other ashramas. Only grihastashrama is enough. One must perform all actions. The Puri Paksha is advocate of karma. Shankara Bhagavatapala is advocate of sannyasa ashrama. So he recommends grihastashrama in order to emphasize the karma. Shankara Bhagavatapada, isn't it? Says it's not necessary. He does not undermine the grihastashrama. But grihastashrama is relevant only for a person who still has interest in the enjoyment of other things. Okay. Now he says, Pratipanna garhastyasyapi. Vidya utpattau, vidyotpattau. Vidya paripakad. Viraktasya karmasu prayojanam apashyataha. Karmabhyah nivritti eva syat. In this line, he says, who is eligible for sannyasa? He says, karmabhyah nivrittihi eva syat. Definitely, karmabhyah nivrittihi eva syat. So, karmabhyah nivrittihi means dispassion towards the results. dispassion towards the karma alone will be there. Definitely, there'll be only dispassion towards actions and the rituals and their results. For whom karmasu prayojanam apashyataha. Karmasu prayojanam na apashyati. Yaha karmasu prayojanam na apashyati tasya. For a person who does not see any benefit that he wants in karma. If a person wants jnanam and moksha, mokshaha, and he does not see moksha as the benefit in the karma. Karmasu prayojanam apna pashyati. Karmasu prayojanam apashyataha. For the person who does not see the moksha as the benefit of karma, as a result of karma. Such a person, for him, karma pyaha nivruttihi eva syat. It is possible only to give up the karma for him. Definitely there will be karma pyaha nivruttihi eva syat means dispassion towards karma alone is possible for a person who does not see the moksha as the benefit of karma. Why? Because he is karmasu viraktasi. He is also viraktaha, viraktasya. Viraktaha means what? Who is highly dispassionate. Vigataha ragaha yasmat. Saha viraktaha. Raktihi yasya nasti. Saha viraktaha. The one who is absolutely free from attachment, the one who is free from passion. Viraktaha. See, viraktaha, viraktaha means a person of dispassion is viraktaha. The person who is free from attachment is viraktaha. Free from attachment means what? He is no more dependent on any karma, any karma phalam for his happiness and security. And he is dispassionate towards all time-bound material ends. His raktihi, his passion is only for jnana, mokshaha. So, viraktasya, karmasu prayojanam apashyataha, karmabhyaha nivruttihi eva syat. Definitely, there will be only sannyasa from all his actions. There will be only nivritti. Only retirement from actions alone is possible. Retirement means what? Okay. The disinterest. So dispassion towards actions, the rituals alone will be there, is possible. For a one who does not see the benefit of moksha in the karma, and who is also dispassionate, how does he become dispassionate? With paripakat, vidyam paripakat. Because of his maturity. So pratipanna garhasthyasya api vidyotpattu vidya paripakat. The person who has lived his life as a grihastha successfully in the previous janma, and he, the grihastha ashrama has served its purpose for him, which means he is now, as a mature person, he becomes qualified for the attainment of jnanam, and he even attains jnanam. Vidya utpatto, the person who has lived his life successfully as a grihastha ashrami, thereby he becomes qualified for the attainment of jnanam, and he attains jnanam also. See, he must have gone through many lives, and he must have been living a life, clean life of dharma. So all his life of dharma he lived as a grihastha in the previous janmas must have contributed for his mental maturity, mental preparedness, and as a result of which, if a person attains jnanam in one's life, even after having attained jnanam, before he enjoying the benefit of that jnanam, if a person dies. Understand now? He must have done shravanam also. He attained jnanam also. Even after having attained jnanam, before enjoying the benefit of jnanam, the person might have died. He has yet to enjoy what? The benefit of jnanam. Understand? He says, he sees the moksha. Attained jnanam. But the jnanam has not yet given him that benefit of jnanam. Before that he died, the paradha has ended. Such a person will be born again, highly evolved person, highly mature person. Why? He has already attained jnanam. He has atma jnanam. So, vidya utpattau, when the knowledge rises for his person, as a result of his preparedness, the preparedness he has earned because of his living a clean life of dharma, but doing all his duties as a grihastha in previous janmas. Then yajna person also, when he is born again, there's a possibility. There are some people, again he is born. Now, all that he needs is what? He has to enjoy the benefit of that jnana. Isn't it? So, vidya paripakat, a result of maturity born of this knowledge, the person is absolutely dispassionate towards everything and who does not see any benefit at all in the result of any karma, such for him, karma bhya nivritti eva syat. There must be definitely dispassionate towards the karma, which means he has to straight away enter into sannyasashrama only. Just to become contemplative, just to contemplate upon what he has already earned, that jnanam, and he has to enjoy the benefit of that jnanam. Understand? This is the answer Pujya Swamiji used to give when people used to come and ask Swamiji. See, people like we, now we always say, what do we say? We have to live a life of karma yoga. We have to have mental purification. We must strictly live a life of dharma. We must have antakkarana shuddhi, antakkarana naishchalyam. We need upasanam. And then we have to go through discipline of shravanam, understand the teaching. Then we have to again go through discipline of mananam. We have to have all our doubts resolved. Then we must become contemplative. We have to have contemplative mental disposition. Then you have to have the ascertained vision of the truth. Only then there is moksha. We say all these things, you know. These are generally everybody is told. But they come and ask. See, Ramana Maharshi Swamiji, we never saw Ramana Maharshi going to any Mahatma, had any studying Shastram. He never had a guru. He was there, a young boy, ran away from Tiruchi to Tiruvannamalai. Tiruchi is a birthplace. And he came and he was sitting somewhere in a cave and he was meditative and he attended jnanam and he was there. And he never went anywhere. The whole world came to Tiruvannamalai to see him. He never went anywhere. There's no need for him to go. As a person of loin cloth, he was simply there. He did not study Shastram. He did not attain jnanam. And they come and ask about Vivekananda, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Some names we know, okay? So, Yantro Mahanubhava, so many Mahatmas who must be still living in this world, unassumingly, with the wisdom and vision. We don't know who they are. And those people, how do they attain? And they are, you know, effortlessly they draw crowds, they live, they have their own, they don't expect anything. And we don't see them studying any, we never heard about the studying Shastram. How did they attain jnanam? Did they not, no, without any efforts? And they are Mahatmas. Isn't it enough? These people have their own understanding. So they must have meditated upon something. They must have been meditation. They must have been practicing meditation. Attain jnanam. So they assume they have their own assumptions. People come and ask. And for all that, this is the answer. Understand? If we see some Mahatmas, and if you don't see them studying the Shastram, not going to teachers, again, they may be Mahatmas, but we cannot know, we cannot say the Mahatma is a Mahatma. You must be Mahatma, you must be a person of wisdom and vision to even to say other person is a jnani. Even Ramana Maharshi was a jnani. But we cannot say he was a jnani. You must be a jnani to know another person being a jnani. If you are not a jnani, if you are a jnani, how can you have, you must have depth of vision to understand depth of the vision of other person. Yourself being a jnani, how can you say the other person is a jnani, he is a jnani, that person is a jnani? We cannot say that. Even if other person is a jnani, you see, okay, certain based on some lakshanani, like seeing certain, you know, the characteristic features, etc., you assume this person must be really a jnani. And it is far, we never saw him studying Shastram. How did he become a jnani? This is the answer. Okay? Janmantra samskara. If at all you see any Mahatma who has this jnanam, if at all you see Mahatma, okay, doesn't study any Shastram, and he is highly dispassionate, means the person has earned the qualification in his previous janmas. One must have worked very hard. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa or Vivekananda or Ramana Maharshi. Even so many Mahatma, we don't even know their names. All of them, if we hear about their wisdom, hear about their lifestyle, no, they must have earned such qualifications in their previous janmas. Understand? So when even having lived a clean life of dharma, having performed their duties, earned punyam, having become qualified for the attainment of jnanam, having attained jnanam, also there's a possibility of some people to die without enjoying the benefit of the jnanam. Then what happens to such mahatmas? As highly mature, evolved people, they'll be born again. Okay, all they're born just to enjoy the benefit of the hard work. Is it? They've earned in previous lives. So they're born for such people, there's no need for them to enter into Grihastashrama, again to do karma. Sangha Bhagavad has to explain so much to shut this poor Pakshi's mouth. Just to say, there's no need for her. Okay, it's not that one must enter only into Grihastashrama. Only Grihastashrama must be there. There's no need for sannyasa ashrama. There's no need for it. Other ashramas at all. One must perform all the duties pertaining to Grihastashrama. Earn punyam. Utilize the old bhavams. And get all the obstructions removed. Not attain jnanam, attain moksha. No. We have to understand, isn't it? All these ashramas are required in keeping with the requirement of the individual. Is it? You have to enter into the relevant ashrama and to take care of your preparation, mental maturity. Now he says, Pratipanna garhasthasya. Pratipanna garhasthya means the grihasthashrami, the person of grihasthashrama who has already attained the benefit of living a life of a grihastha. For him, when he becomes, what is the purpose of living a life of grihastha? One has to live a life, go through grihasthashrama to ultimately to attain mental preparation, mental purification, mental steadiness. If a person has got that mental maturity, mental preparation in terms of mental purification, mental steadiness, then naturally as a qualified person and being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga, naturally he must, not for him, knowledge should rise. Vidya utpatto, when knowledge rises for such a prepared minded grastashrami. So pratipanna garhasthasya api vidya utpatto, when knowledge rises for a person has become qualified for the jnanam as a result of living life of grihastha. For him, vidya paripakate, because of the maturity born of the knowledge, and who is also highly dispassionate, viraktaha, for him, for such a person who does not see any benefit at all in karma, karmasu prayojanam apashyataha, for such a person, karmasu nivruttihi eva syat, there must be only dispassion towards all the karmas. The person who is dispassionate towards the results of actions, results of karma and the karma, there is no need for him at all to enter into grihastashrama. He can skip the ashramas, can, isn't it? Enter into sannyasashrama. Just to live a life of contemplation. Because he is eligible for that. He presents a quote from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Pravrajishyan. See, vrajishyan means will be wandering. Pravrajishyan. Va are aham asmat sthanat asmi. Are aham asmat sthanat asmi. Itteva mare shuti. Linga darshanat. It's a very beautiful quote from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. See, this is really typically an expression of a highly dispassionate person. And here the Yajnavalkya himself. Are aham asmat sthanat. Pravrajishyan asmi. From this Girdhastha ashrama, I am moving away. Whose way is this? Asmat sthanat pravrajishyan asmi aham. Are, oh, my dear wife, I am leaving, okay, moving away from this Vrista ashrama life. Yes, I'm entering into sannyasa ashrama. Iteva madi shruti linga darshanat. And these are the, okay, we see there are such statements of shruti where we do find highly dispassionate, mature person does say what? That he wants to move away from the Vrista ashrama. Which means he is no more interested in enjoying the benefits of the duties pertaining to grihasthashrama. That is why the Vedic way of life, Vedika Dharma, all these ashramas, ashrama dharmas, varna dharmas are, you know, highly non-improvably well-designed way of life. Who should enter into first standard? Who enter into second standard? Who should go to highest, okay, university? Isn't it? Whoever is qualified to enter where? Wherever, that person entered there. Who should enter into the university? Who is eligible to enter there? Who should enter into high school? Whoever, whatever is qualification required to enter into high school, that young child can enter. It's all qualification, eligibility, isn't it? The same way, all these ashramas are well designed and ultimately for what? The absolute well-being of the individual. Isn't it? It's perfect. So, itteva madi shruti linga darshana. From the clue we get from the Upanishad, such as Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, where such shruti statements are there, where even great sage like Vyajñavalkya tells his wife that he was about to leave from this grihastha ashrama to enter into sannyasa ashrama. Which means It is very natural for highly mature minded, was dispassionate towards other ends, time-bound ends. To means the person goes through sannyasa mentally. Understand? It's natural for him to move away to the other ashrama. So there's no need for him to be a grastha again. So sannyasa ashrama is important. You can't say sannyasa ashrama is not required. Just the time quickly passed, my God. Okay. So Shankara Bhagavatpada answered Purupakshi, clarified his doubt. He has clarified our doubts also. Hasn't he? Very clear. Understand? Only in this Vedic tradition, it's made very clear that how this emotional maturity is something which is dependent on our initiative. One has to have one's own initiative for emotional maturity. See, physical growth, Puya Swamiji explains this in the very introduction itself. The physical growth, okay, is taken care of by nature. See, we need not do any, we need not make any efforts, okay, to increase the weight of the body. To grow taller, to grow horizontally or vertically, what effort should we make? For physical expansion, for physical growth, vertically or horizontally, all that we need to do is, like in Manjankudi, okay, morning breakfast, afternoon lunch and evening, midday dinner, isn't it? Eat 3 times, you pop it 4 or 5 times, and have 3 or 4 times coffee, tea, and then the Kumbakonam degree coffee, tea times. We can have this fresh 8 to milk. Like this, no, keep, just we eat and drink. Eating and drinking, if you take care, physical growth is taken care of by nature. We don't need to go and sit with every cell to tell, come and expand, open. Physical growth is taken care of by nature. Whereas, emotional maturity needs our initiative. Emotional maturity cannot happen by itself naturally, which means, and how? That's why Shastram teaches emotional maturity cannot happen overnight. It takes its own time. So there is a, how far, how much can a person, you know, grow mentally? Emotional maturity, what is the level of, what is this, you know, the point where emotional maturity stops? How can you measure, what is scale to measure the emotional maturity? This is the, okay, absolute emotional maturity. One cannot mature more than this. How to understand that? Jnanam. The knowledge, if there is knowledge of the oneness of reality, a person has a clear doubt-free vision of non-duality of the reality, and he resolves to very individuality in totality, and your person is absolutely free from, you know, this delusion, sorrow. He is a person of absolute maturity, a jnani. I explained to you, I think one of this before also. Brahma Vedanath Brahmanaha, isn't it? The one who knows Veda as Brahmana, one who knows the reality is a Brahmana. The absolutely mature individual. But to become absolutely mature individual as a jnani, jnani is the one who is absolutely mature, who need not, cannot become more mature than he is. And to become absolutely mature, one must be relatively mature. And for relative maturity, one must make one's own effort. One's own initiative must be there. That is why Shastram here, whole Shastram teaches. And be a grastha, be a brahmachari. When you are a brahmachari, do the duties pertaining to brahmachari. You don't eat and poke your nose unnecessarily into others' duties. You do your own duties and see that your maturity is taken care of. your well-being is taken care of. I mean, then once you're ready, enter into this ashrama. Again, by doing what is to be done as a grihastha, again your maturity is taken care of. That is when you understand, you enjoy the world of objects, and you understand limitations of the world of objects. You have desires for objects, and you enjoy them. Having desires, fulfilling desires by doing things, enjoying the objects, you understand the limitations of objects. Naturally, gradually, you grow out of desire for objects also. It has to happen grihasthashrama. Grihasthashrama, one must, the person of desires, full of desires. Nothing wrong, full of, the highly rajasic person, having a lot of desires. Nothing wrong. Shastra provides all infrastructure, isn't it? Enter into grihasthashrama, live your life as a grihastha householder, get married, have progeny, fulfill all your desires, do karmas, what are relevant karmas, but in conformity with dharma, earn punyam, enjoy the benefits, enjoy the results of actions, and learn from your life's experiences. As a person of dharma can learn from one's own life's experiences, then what is the biggest experience, one lesson one can learn? One can learn that nothing in the world can give me what exactly I'm aspiring for. The absolute happiness is not a result of an action. Isn't it? When you understand this, to understand this, one has to live a life of grihastha. Maybe one has to naturally, effortlessly grow out of desire for this time-bound arthakam dharmas. That is when he is prepared enough to get rid of some things, and he moves into vanaprastha ashrama. There, he lives more meditative life, again, as a person who is given to the life of meditation, and with less of activities, the person becomes really mature, that he becomes absolutely dispassionate towards all arthakama dharmas, then he is a sannyasi mentally. That's why he, the person is given to sannyasa life, sannyasa ashrama. So this the emotional maturity has to happen naturally. If you follow this way of life enjoined by the Shastram, effortlessly, just this way, listening to what Veda Shastram says, without questioning. Okay? So, you making use of the Vedic teaching, very relevant, in our lifestyle, one's maturity is taken care of. There's a whole Vedic way of life is for your emotional well-being. You become mature. Therefore, no, what Purupakshi said is not right. All ashramas are required. All the duties pertaining to the relevant ashramas must be performed by the people who need those duties. And duties of any ashrama, it need not be only the grihastha ashrama duties. Even performing duties pertaining to any relevant ashrama also can contribute for accumulating punyam, when utilizing the previously earned papams, they also can remove obstacles. Understand? Therefore, all ashramas are required. All ashramas are appropriate. It is not possible, it is not right to say only grihastha ashrama is necessary. Other ashramas are not required. The Purupakshi's view being incorrect has been made very clear. Okay? So I'll stop here because now Purupakshi still is not keeping quiet, and he still is disturbed. The disturbed can disturb. Who can disturb others? The disturbed will disturb. He is disturbed. Okay. So he has to disturb. So he still has something to say, and he is going to say that, which we'll see next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate.